Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, we go full gambler. I have Jack Bond on from Paramount Sports. We're going to be talking about some of the Sharks over-unders, looking at some of the different odds for the Calder and, you know, maybe some nice Timo Meier props. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at Fear the Fan and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you, of course, for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, you can subscribe on YouTube as well. And on today's episode, we go full gambler. So we're going to be talking about some of the kind of different odds for the Sharks, looking at their point total and seeing if that makes sense for them or if you should be betting the over-under. We're also going to be looking at, Timo Meier, if maybe the Vegas lines are a little low for our boy Timo and what's a contract year. And then we're going to Jackson give us two of his favorite futures as well at the end. So some futures that maybe you want to, you know, spend some of your extra money on to try to, you know, get you ready for next summer when a certain team might be lifting the cup. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with Jack Bond. All right, and now we bring in Jack Bond, betting analysis for Paramount Sports. And we're going to be talking about some of the numbers and futures for the Sharks. We're going to be looking at them as a team, looking at some of the individual kind of over-unders, and then we'll be looking at some of Jack's favorite NHL kind of futures bets. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm doing pretty well. Counting down the days till the NHL regular season starts and we get to watch some hockey over in the Czech Republic. So it's a fun, exciting couple of weeks coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's already here. We've got rookie tournaments just finished up. We got training camp starting. We have preseason starting here. It's pretty crazy that it's already here. It feels like we just finished the draft, but alas, the NHL waits for no one. So let's go ahead and start with the Sharks as a whole, as a team. Where do you want to start? I guess their point total for this year is pretty paltry, I guess, compared to some of the other teams. Let's go ahead and start with their over under. What do you think of their over under?
Yeah, so the 2022-23 regular season point total, according to Vegas, is set at over under 74.5 for the Sharks. They finished at 77 last season, so a slight drop off. That's not a big surprise. I mean, you lose your head coach, you lose your general manager, you lose Brent Burns. It's not the biggest surprise. Now, I will say, you know, that was something I considered to take the over on. Particularly earlier this summer when it seemed like maybe outside of the Edmonton Oilers, this specific division was pretty wide open. You didn't know if the Flames were kind of on the back end of their, you know, period of contention. The Vegas Golden Knights are certainly in an area of flux right now. But now that Calgary's all of a sudden, you know, revamped their offensive group and Jonathan Huberdeau's over there and all that, I'm sure your Sharks fans have heard all about it. I would lean towards the under. It's a pretty low number. You know, obviously Vegas is projecting the Sharks to miss the playoffs as of right now. You know, with an over-under of 74.5 regular season points, you know, you're not surprised to see that they're plus 700 or 7-1 to make the playoffs. But that shouldn't come as a surprise. You know, the Sharks team is obviously rebuilding, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But Vegas understands it, and Vegas is probably on the same page as the fan base that this is going to be a rebuilding process and a rebuilding year for the Sharks.
Yeah. And looking at the Pacific, you know, I think, cause that's the big thing, right? Is you have to beat the teams in your own division to have a chance. And most of the other teams in the Pacific either got better or at least kind of stayed the same. You know, you look at the Oilers are going to be really good. You know, Calgary, like you mentioned, they were able to pivot on the fly. I think the Canucks with another year under Boudreaux, they're going to be a much better team, you know, more like what we saw in the last half of the season. who knows with Vegas? I feel like they have the highest ceiling and lowest floor kind of in the Pacific, where you could get, you know, who knows out of them. But then like the Ducks are going to be better with Zegras and, you know, going into the second year of McTavish. Having in the Kraken with Beniers and Shane Wright to start your franchise is a pretty solid start. And the Kings won I know that they made the playoffs last year, and those young guys are only just going to get better. So yeah, I'm right there with you with that 70, you know, 74 and a half or whatever the point total is. I've been saying this for a while now. I think the Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL. And if you're there with me, you might as well try to make some money off of it.
Well, it's disappointing as a fan. I understand that. You know, it makes sense. You know, just your personal subjective bias there. You want to be up there with the Lightning and the Avalanche. But part of the reason I'm on here, and part of the reason why there's opportunities to be had here, is you can still make money on the Sharks, and you don't necessarily have to be betting against them to do it. You know, there's player props everywhere now, especially with the world of sports betting becoming so large in the United States. There's player props and there's player futures as well, not just team futures. So when you're looking at the Sharks and their odds to win the Pacific, you know, they're 50 to 1 to win the Pacific alone, let alone the Western Conference or even the Stanley Cup, where they're plus one, you know, 12,500 to win the Stanley Cup. But there are still odds out there on goal score, you know, goals scored by individual players, and obviously awards, which I think is an interesting topic to get into with the Sharks, especially with the young talent they have. And the betting odds on things like the Calder Trophy coming out pretty recently.
So let's get to the Calder Trophy. I think Sharks fans, we're very excited about William Eklund, the seventh overall pick in the 2021 draft. It's still going to be up in there if he makes the team out of camp. I still think he makes the team out of camp just because he made the team last year, and he's probably going to be better this year. I know that, and the Sharks, I know they added NHL caliber forwards, but none of these guys have a lot of upside or juice that you're really excited about. And I still think he's going to be one of the six best forwards coming out of camp for the Sharks. But right now, Eklund is currently plus 800. He's fourth in the odds for the Calder. I did last week I did an episode of kind of laying out the case of what Eklund's season would have to look like to be a Calder finalist or to potentially win the Calder. He's probably going to be around 60, 65 points. 20, if he's, you know, 20 goals, 45 assists, somewhere around there. Is that actually, you think, doable on a what's going to probably be a bad team that's going to probably struggle to score as well?
You know, I do. I think it's a possibility. Now, I will say what's tough and what you kind of have to put an asterisk by with Eklund is he does have Thomas Bortolo, who's going to push for a roster spot too. And when you have two young guys, kind of like you've seen in Montreal with a Nick Suzuki and a Cole Caulfield, when you have two young guys competing for recognition and for awards and for points, yes, they can work with each other and it can be great and they got chemistry and they're going to put up points together. But at the same time, you're going to see one guy taking some recognition away from the others. I'm sure San Jose fans are, you know, they're aware of that with the history of Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, you know, two of the most recognizable names on the defensive side of the puck in the NHL. So when you see Eklund at 8-1 to win the Calder, I mean, he's up there with the leaderboard. And so, you know, Mason McTavish is, I think, the odds on favorite right now to win it. And that's fair. Owen Power's up there as well. But again, those two guys are in smaller markets right now and they're in rebuilding teams as well. So what's to say Eklund can't, you know, jump up there and be up there with a McTavish or a Power. The other thing I'll say too is one thing I've seen often in the last three or four years of sports betting specifically is when a team like the Sharks or a team who has a struggling power play the last one or two years that has one of the more talented prospects in the NHL and brings them up, they will throw them right into the special teams, right into the power play. And we all know more power play time you get, the more points you put up and the more recognition you get. You've seen it with a guy like Ellie Tolvanen in Nashville, who's known for his shot, but he's not exactly the best all-around player. So as soon as they brought him up, they said, you know what, to heck with it. Let's put him on the power play and see what he can do. And he's out there now. He was up there with Philip Forsberg for one of the highest power play point producers for the Predators last couple of years. So, you know, long story short, I do think it's, you know, that's a bet that's worth looking at for the Sharks this year. If you're just looking at individual player props, there are not a lot of team props that you're going to like with this team this year. So, that's certainly one I would look at. And like I mentioned, you know, Bortolo, I believe as of right now, he's 25 to 1 to win the Calder. And I know he's made an appearance at the NHL level, but he's certainly not as much of a guarantee to make the roster. In my opinion, it sounds like, and in yours,
to make the roster this year and to be a mainstay on the roster. So if you're looking at one of those two rookies for the Sharks, I think Eklund is your guy, and the betting odds reflect that. I think Vegas agrees.
All right, guys, before we continue our conversation with Jack, and we're going to talk about kind of some of his favorite futures and look at some of the trophy winners and where maybe David Quinn is a potential Jack Adams. First, we do want to take a break and talk to about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know Bet Online, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. So find all your latest football league developments, game matchup news, and podcasts over at Bet Online. They've also got you covered for all your favorite sports, including MLB. We got playoffs here getting ready, MMA, boxing. You got NBA futures, NHL futures over there. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And yeah, we saw Eklund in his 9 games last year. He was thrown on the power play right away, and that's where he got a majority of his points. So, and you're hoping playing with a guy like Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl, and if Erik Karlsson's running the power play, you're going to be able to rack up some points that way, especially because we know how effective Timo and Hertl can be on the power play. And if Erik Karlsson is the point man on it, I think, you know, that's a way for Eklund to kind of really help to boost his stats, you know, and maybe he's going to be more of a power play guy right now until he kind of works on his 5-on-5 game. And especially as the Sharks continue to add talent.
I'll add one more thing too, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If the majority of his time right now is on a power play, if you look at the Sharks roster, the top 4 to 5 forwards on that team are pretty strong. It's the forward depth and you know, the backside of things that are a concern this year. But then you look at, if you take into account the acquisitions and the signings that the Sharks had this offseason, you've got guys like Luke Cunnan, Nico Sturm, and Oscar Lindblom, guys who are, you know, former highly touted prospects who mm-hmm. haven't necessarily panned out at the NHL level. They're going to be on much shorter leashes than a guy like Eklund or a guy like Bortolo would be, especially on the special teams. And so, you know, that's something to definitely keep in mind with a new head coach and a new general manager. This is a team that wants to see the rookies out there, and they want to see the rookies succeed. And that might come at the expense of some other players, but you've got, those are 3 forwards off the top of my head. While yes, they may be new players to the roster, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get the longest leash like an Eklund or a Bortolo would.
It's interesting though, because I think with David Quinn, where his reputation in with the Rangers, right, where some of these guys, you know, who are even more highly touted, like your Lafreniere's and stuff, where he kind of kept these younger guys on a short leash. And then with some of the veterans, he kind of let those guys make their mistakes. He talked about in his press conference of kind of learning from that experience. So it'll be interesting to see if he kind of, how he works with that. And if he's going to give your guys like Eklund, who are the future of your franchise, you know, you're expecting Eklund to be a potential all-star type of player in the future. If you're going to let him have his run and actually try to kind of work through his rookie bumps and become a mainstay, a top 6, potentially top 3 forward for the Sharks.
That's right. And they're not expecting to be super competitive this year. I think Mike Greer knows that. And I think Coach Quinn knows that. So, and you know, if I were coaching the team, I would say to heck with it. Why not throw him out there for, you know, 20 minutes a game and let's see what he can do with a Timo Meier and a Tomas Hertl on his side. So,
Which of the Connick Calder guys do you potentially like as, you know, maybe not your McTavish or your Powers, or maybe one of these long shot guys, if you're not betting Sharks, just in general, which guy do you kind of, because the guy I'm looking at is Kent Johnson. I think potentially playing, he's at plus 1200. And if you're playing with Johnny Gaudreau, who just is coming off a 100-point season, and he's going to be the kind of the focal point of this Columbus offense, I think playing with Gaudreau is a pretty nice start, right?
It is. And it's a fun pick to take as well, because it seems like this Columbus, or, you know, Blue Jackets organization is on the up and up as well. Mm-hmm. They every time they've been in the national spotlight and they've made it to the postseason, they make some miraculous effort against the Lightning, or they even sweep the Lightning, you know, a couple of years ago like they did, and all of a sudden there's this big hurrah and big media attention for the Blue Jackets. And that's one big thing you have to look at for these young players when you get in the Calder race and you're considering things like this. You know, you look at a guy like Cole Caulfield, and while he didn't put up a ton of points in his first year, he got all the attention in the world from the Canadian media. And then there's a guy like Austin Matthews who was insane his first year, even though the Maple Leafs weren't necessarily good, he got all the media attention. And even when you come down, you know, south of the border and you look at, you know, Lafreniere and these, you know, the rookies that have come through New York and New Jersey, they get a ton of attention. So that's really, that's a primary focal point when you're looking at these Calder Trophy bets, you know, mm-hmm. a guy like Shane Wright at 22-1 was a really interesting pick to me. I have no idea how much attention he might get in a Seattle market that, yes, it's new and it's exciting and it's getting a ton of attention nationally, but he's also dealing with all these other top prospects that the Kraken now have out of nowhere. So, you know, it's an interesting list right now. If I'm scrolling through right now, looking at these odds, I'm interested in Vitali Kravtsov at 25-1 as well. You know, he's had this weird come up with his draft eligibility and leaving the New York Rangers and all of this. Now he's finally got a chance to just come up and prove it. I know he's a talented guy. These Russian youngsters often come up and they play like they don't have a leash. They're much more free flowing and you've seen an Alexander Radulov and a Kirill Kaprizov before kind of take the scene and take the national stage with no problem. Kravtsov's an interesting guy to look at. You know, looking through the list as well, you've got a guy like Jake Sanderson at 18-1, is a solid player that, you know, I don't know if he can take the reins from a Tomas Chabot or anything like that as the top young defenseman in Ottawa, but I'm looking at him right now and he's got all the hype as well. He's an American born kid up in Canada and all this. And so, especially with guys like Cale Makar and Roman Josi, who have been essentially superstars since they were really young. Obviously, Makar is still pretty young. That free-flowing, galloping defenseman who can kind of skate like the wind but hit you like a horse has been a really popular Calder pick the last couple of years. So I'd say, yeah, you know, Kravtsov and a Jake Sanderson, those are two pretty good long shots if you want to just throw a couple bucks down on somebody for the Calder. But it's certainly understandable that a guy like Mason McTavish would be the odds-on favorite after the last couple of tournaments he's had as well. So.
And yeah, the Sanderson one makes a lot of sense too, because you know Ottawa, they're going to have a lot of actual like defense and their goaltending suspect, but their forwards, those guys all know how to shoot and they all know how to score, and you're going to be able to kind of rack up the points there. And what's probably going to be a lot of 5-4, you know, 6-5 type of games up there, and then plus you get the nice Canadian market of, you know, you're going to have more attention up there as well. So that's not too bad of a long shot either.
That's right. All right.
What are some of the player props that you're kind of interested in? I guess we can kind of go through maybe some of the big names for the Sharks here. So they're kind of over unders and see which ones make a lot of sense to you, or maybe you're kind of a little questionable about. So
yeah, so there's a couple I've noted, and some of these you have to shop around for, but really BetOnline is a great source for this. They've got lines for almost everything. Mm-hmm. You know, just going through these player props that I've found today alone. Aside from the two Calder Trophy bets that we looked at, you've got James Reimers at 100-1 to win the Vezina Trophy. That's understandably a long shot as well. And then you've got Erik Karlsson at 66-1 to win the Norris Trophy. And then as far as your over-unders on goals scored, you got Timo Meier at over-under 32.5 and Tomas Hertl at over-under 29.5. And I'll tell you right now, I wrote down on pen and paper right next to me, Timo Meier over under 32.5 goals. I absolutely love the over on this bet. I'm not just saying that because I'm a guest on your podcast tonight. I can assure you that. But I really do like it. I mean, he basically played a full season last year, and he's been relatively healthy considering you know, COVID issues the past three seasons and all of that. But he's coming off a 35-goal campaign already, right? And he just scored 35 goals with his lowest 5v5 shooting percentage of his career. Last season. Now, that's always a good sign for positive regression, but here's a couple more things I really, really liked about this. Number one, he shot more shots on goal last year than he ever has before. I mean, he was ripping the puck everywhere, which is not a surprise. You know, he's a focal point of the offense, but you see a guy like Alex DeBrincat, who had one chance to become a top six winger on that offense in Chicago. He just took every opportunity he had to shoot the puck, and look what he did last year. He put up career highs in points, and then he cashed in this past summer. Another thing too, he's going to be on the top line of the top power play unit. We already know about that. I do think the Sharks power play is going to be a little bit better this year. I know that's crazy to say without Brent Burns, but you finally have Hertl, Couture, you know, Meier, Karlsson, at least going into the season healthy. Yep. A new head coach under David Quinn, who, if I remember correctly, had a pretty good power play with the Rangers as well. I'll have to double check that. And then obviously the giant elephant in the room is Myers in a contract year.
Yes.
Isn't that right? So the motivation's there. The, you know, the statistics are there to back him up. And certainly his position in the lineup and under a new head coach are all things to love. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be betting that over 32 and a half goals. And another interesting one, if your listeners are really, really loving the idea of a long shot, you know, he's 100-1 to win the Rocket Richard trophy for the most goals in the NHL. Now he's going up against a guy like Austin Matthews, who might be putting up 50 every year for the next, you know, however many years. But if there's a year to do it, I think this is the one to do it.
Yeah, and you could see it with Timo too. You know, going back to the Rangers, Quinn's second year as the Rangers coach, their power play was seventh in the league. So if he can get that system going maybe a little bit quicker this year, and I think the Rangers, they were touted a lot more younger guys his first year. So if you have some established guys like your Timo, your Hurdle, your Couture's, and then you let Erik Karlsson cook back there, and I think we've seen this dueling banjo between Karlsson and Burns on the power play, and, you know, putting them both on the power play and having them both run and just kind of let Erik Karlsson cook back there. And I think he can run the power play. It's going to be a lot more puck movement than with Burns, where it's kind of more shots and more scrambling, and hopefully more puck movement leads to more open nets and guys like Timo Meier and Tomas Hurdle can pounce on it. But yeah, I love the over 32 and a half for Timo Meier. You know, contract year, if his 5v5 shooting goes up, and there's not like there's a bunch of guys on the Sharks who are like snipers or guys who are shooters, like he's going to get every chance. I would, you know, he's, and then two, with Brent Burns not there taking a bajillion shots as well, that's even more shots that are going to be open up. So yeah, I think Timo could be flirting with a 40 goal season this year, and then potentially 85, 90 points as well, if, and basically kind of lead the Sharks there in the points department.
And that, you know, I said Alex DeBrincat earlier, I mentioned his name. That's really the name that popped in my head when I saw this line. And I actually, you know, our clients at Paramount Sports, we send them a futures card at the beginning of every season. And my only player prop for the year was Alex DeBrincat to score over 36 and a half goals. And he went off. Those are the things you look for, really those 3 points, especially if there's motivation there, which is kind of tough to find. You know, you're not always in a contract year, not always, you know, under a brand new head coach that you're trying to impress and on a rebuilding team that's not going to have a ton of talent surrounding you. That's one of the tougher things to find for these individual player props, and that's a big one. And one more thing too, you mentioned Erik Karlsson manning that power play and not having Brent Burns kind of crowding the power play unit and the defensive group with him. I actually saw Karlsson at 66-1. Or plus 6,600 to win the Norris this year. I found it interesting, partially because, you know, you look at the rest of that group, and I think, again, Erik Karlsson is going to lead the team in time on ice. Or wherever he is, he seems to be up there. If not first, then he's second in time on ice. You know, Mark-Edward Vlasic just hasn't been himself the last couple of years. But last year, I do think you saw some instances and some flashes where Karlsson was back to his old self.
Yeah.
Now, do I think he's going to win the Norris Trophy? I don't. I mean, I mentioned this on a podcast the other day. The three-headed monster of Makar, Yossi, and Hedman is just too recognizable and too prominent to pass up. Unless one or two of those guys goes down with a big injury, I'd have a hard time seeing anybody but them winning it. Maybe an Adam Fox could sneak in there.
Yeah.
But if you can find an over-under points prop on Karlsson, I'd be interested in that. He's obviously going to get all that power play time. And I did like a lot what I saw from him a little bit last year. And we've seen it with Quinn before as well. It's not like he's afraid to get the defenseman involved in the offense as well. So just keep an eye out for a number like that or a player prop on Erik Karlsson. That'll be an interesting one as well.
Yeah, I mean, with the Norris, I think it's basically Makar's trophy to win until they decide they don't want to keep giving it to Makar because he's really good, man. He's really good.
I live in Nashville, and so I not only had to see him almost every other week throughout the regular season, I also had to watch 4 games of him in that ridiculous playoff sweep. I mean, I'm looking at the odds for the Norris right now. He's plus 150 to win it, and Roman Yossi's next at plus 750. So, I mean, unless he gets arrested or gets hurt, I don't think anything's gonna hurt his Norris Trophy chances.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's not much value in the Norris unless you think something like that's going to happen. I think it's Makar's trophy to kind of win until they decide that they just don't want to give it to him anymore.
That's right.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Jack and he gives out his two favorite futures, do want to give a quick break, let you guys know about Locked On NHL. Thank you, of course, for making Locked On Sharks your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you have podcasts, and of course on YouTube as well. But make sure you guys go check out Locked On NHL. They've got you covered with all the national stories. Right now, we're getting ready, gearing up for the season. You know, we're going to be doing power rankings every Thursday. Wednesdays, you have the Western Conference Wednesdays. You know, occasionally I make an appearance, especially on those Monday shows whenever something big happens with the Sharks. Monday's kind of your day of like the big news stories. So make sure you guys go check out Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can find them on YouTube as well. One of the other ones I kind of wanted to talk about was the Jack Adams trophy, which is given to the best coach of the year. Quinn is pretty far down there. I think he's at plus 4,000 right now. But what if Quinn is like leads this ragtag bunch of nobodies to a playoff berth? Could you potentially, like, if you believe in the Sharks might be sneaky good this year, and you know, maybe Meyer has like a 90-100 point season. Eklund is a Calder type finalist. You know, Kaapo Kähkönen becomes like one of the 15 best goalies in the league. Erik Karlsson is, you know, like all these things kind of align, and this ragtag bunch of guys makes a playoff push. Right? You can squint and see it, maybe.
That's a long list of variables right there. It is. But you know what? I'll tell you what. We probably said the same thing about Todd McClellan in Los Angeles last year, right? You know, we were saying this about a team last year with the Kings, and I believe McClellan finished second or third in the Jack Adams race. You get off to a hot start with a team, and you have a good October and November, and maybe even part of December. Even if you're falling off and you're a couple of points out of the wild card, you're certainly going to get some recognition.
Yeah.
Quinn has already been in the big national spotlight in New York. I certainly don't think it would hurt him to be in a city like San Jose, where at least the media is a little bit more forgiving, right? and you've got some recognizable names out there. You've got a recognizable home ice and home ice advantage. I'm certainly not going to be placing my own money on that bet. I do think it's an interesting one. And I do think it's a fun one, because I don't know what necessarily went wrong in New York and why he was just kind of brushed out of there. But I kind of liked him as a head coach. I thought he was a pretty fun coach to watch. I know he's well-liked throughout the Northeast from his time coaching college hockey. I will say this, you know, he's 40-1 to be the first, or to be the Jack Adams Award winner. He's also 25-1 to be the first head coach fired. I'd rather place my money on him to win the Jack Adams than I would to be the first head coach fired. I think it would be an absolute catastrophe. It would take an absolute catastrophe for him to be fired before anybody else in the NHL. I will say, you know, I'm surprised with looking at these odds. He's got better odds than Martin St. Louis to win the Jack Adams, I would think.
It's a little weird.
It is a little weird. I'm not too high on the Canadians this year either. So maybe that's just part of it. But yeah, you know, if Todd McClellan could do it and finish in the top three, and I could bet on David Quinn to maybe finish top three, not necessarily win it, I'd be interested in those odds for sure. He's got a lot of work cut out for him, but like you said, they're on a bit of a honeymoon phase right now. He's got a long leash, and that can do things for not only a coach, but also a team and even a front office, at the very least, to accelerate the rebuild, if not compete for the last wild card spot. While they might not get it, they could finish a 10th or 9th if we're just looking at the entire Western Conference. It's an interesting bet, and I certainly have more faith in him to win the Jack Adams than I do to be the first head coach fired this year.
Yeah, the odds for the first head coach fired, I saw that and I was kind of shocked, because we know the owner, Hasso Plattner, is a very patient person, and I think it would be, like you said, it would have to be like an absolute like catastrophe or like some sort of allegations or something like that, you know, type of thing for him to be out of there first. I think, you know, and this is Mike Greer's handpicked guy, you know, it would be insane if he was the first head coach. It'd have to be some insane type of thing. So
they're rebuilding the front office as well as the roster. So,
I mean, the whole organization, I mean, NHL, you know, the NHL and the AHL affiliate, everybody's new. It's the whole thing is brand new. So yeah, everything is new. They're not moving people, like firing people right now. So it'd be pretty crazy.
And you know, I will say one thing we've seen an awful lot recently in the NHL, and something I want to get your opinion on as well, is every time you see a head coach fired, you almost always see some bad goaltending leading up to it. and the Sharks goaltending this situation this year, I'm not going to say it's bad because I don't necessarily think it is, but you've got a crowded room. You picked up Kaapo Kakkonen, you've got James Reimer still there. Now you've got the return of Aaron Dell amongst a hodgepodge of other guys who are kind of trying to slide into the roster. If the goaltending does go sideways, I still don't see him being fired. But you saw the times last year where James Reimer absolutely stood on his head. I think he led the NHL in save percentage during when they were
like the first 2 months or something. Kill. Yeah.
And for the first couple of months, I actually went to a game in Nashville here when the Sharks played against the Predators and saw him put up, I think it was 47 saves and a 1-0 loss. So
that's about right.
I actually talked about this with Lindy Ruff, who I thought was a pretty attractive choice to be the first head coach fired. He's sitting at 9-1 right now in New Jersey to be the first head coach fired. I do think they have more of an issue with the goaltending situation than people expect. But I am curious to get your thoughts on the goaltending situation. Is it going to be a 1A, 1B, 1C? Is it Kakkonen's to lose? Is it Reimer's to lose? How do you think that's going to work out? And do you think there's some opportunities to take advantage of it?
I think it's going to be Kakkonen's net. They traded for him at the deadline last year, and he played really well down the stretch, especially behind what was a pretty bad team at that point. They brought him back. They traded Aiden Hill, and I think it's going to work out kind of. Kaapo Kakkonen is probably going to get about 60% of the starts because, unless you're like a truly elite goaltender where you're going to get, those 55, 60 starts a season, I would probably put Kaapo probably around the 50 start mark and then the, 32 or whatever for Reimer. And then I think Aiden Hill, he's kind of that insurance guy where if something goes, we saw last year with Aiden Hill where he got hurt and then Reimer had to start 13 games in a row. I think Aaron Dell, he's that, that he's been with the Sharks. He knows the organization. If you need him to come up and play a couple games in a pinch, he can do that. Or if you want to send him down and he can, kind of be a steady hand for the, Straussman and Itu Makaniemi, the Barracuda goaltenders, kind of be that extra coach in the room for these guys, especially when you have a brand new coaching staff with the Barracuda. I think that's kind of Aaron Dell's position is break glass in case of emergency, play some games in the AHL and just kind of be that extra coach out there for these young guys. So, but yeah, I think it's Kaapo Kakkonen's net to lose. I was really impressed with the way he played at the end of the year. And well, James Reimer played really well. Just that regression, especially for a guy who's, 34, 35. I don't see him be able to kind of sustain the same play that we saw from him last year. So.
And you have to see what you have in Kakkonen too. I mean, this guy's only 26 years old. I think he just turned 26. So
yep.
You have to see what you have in a guy like that. It makes sense. I certainly will say as an unbiased betting fan, Aaron Dell is fun to watch in net, especially if you have the over. He's flopping around out there. He's not exactly conventional, and he'll usually give you one or two stinkers per game.
Oh, yes. We remember we definitely lived the Martin Jones, Aaron Dell lives for a couple of years. So we've definitely had that fun. But I think Aaron Dell's the perfect third emergency. If you're not counting on him to start 20, 25 games, but if you need him in a pinch, he can come in and be an adult in the room at least. So let's finish up and talk about some of maybe at the NHL large. What are some of your favorite kind of future bets going into the season?
We had, I'll give you, how about one Stanley Cup bet, maybe one over under. How about that?
Okay.
We had the Colorado Avalanche last year at +550 to win the cup. It was actually a future I gave out at the beginning of the season, and I rarely ever play the favorite. I just thought that the Avalanche were just that far head and shoulders above the rest of the league. So, it worked out, but this year I'm looking at it again. What is Edmonton going to do with their goaltending situation? That's my big question coming into this year. I love that. I love watching that team. I would love to see Connor McDavid win a cup. If they could just solidify the goaltending situation, I don't necessarily think Jack Campbell is that solution. Mm-hmm. If he gets off to maybe even a cold start and you can kind of buy low on the Oilers at a 20-1 or something like that, I'd be interested. But preseason at 12-1, I don't love it. I will say one team that's really been appealing to me this offseason, and not because they've done anything crazy, but because they've done what they typically do and they've been competitive for so long, is the Pittsburgh Penguins at 22-1. This does feel like the last hurrah, these next couple of years, whatever that means. I know we keep saying that for Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, but they do have a pretty good two-headed monster in net with Jari and DeSmith. I was okay with the Marino trade in the offseason. I love Mike Sullivan as a head coach. It just seems like everybody's locked in. There's no more question marks surrounding, you know, from the fan base coming into the organization about is Malkin going to stay? Is Letang going to retire? Is Sullivan the guy? Are these our goalies? Whatever it was. And they go out and they pick up a guy like Jeff Carter. And of course he goes out and he scores some big goals for him, like every trade deadline acquisition does for the Penguins. So if I had to give you kind of a good long shot, I like the Penguins at 22-1. That Metro division, I just think it's there's a lot of gray area there.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers are going to regress. I think the Hurricanes are clearly odds on favorites with good reason, but I just don't know how deep that division is going to be this year. And on the same token, I was pretty shocked to see that the Tampa Bay Lightning's season point total was as low as 103.5, which is crazy to say. At 103.5, it's still pretty high. But you look at their Stanley Cup odds, you've got Colorado ahead of them. They're down there, the 7th, highest odds to win the Stanley Cup. I don't necessarily want to say that. I'd say that's a mistake, but I do think they're being undervalued a little bit. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose anybody huge in the offseason. A Palat's gone. But again, that's another team that locked up their core or re-locked up their core. I wouldn't just count them out so quickly.
Yeah.
I would say if I had to take a season win or point total right now, I would say Tampa Bay over 103.5. Again, in an Atlantic division that it could be really tough. I just don't see Florida doing what they did last year.
Yeah.
I don't see Boston keeping things up. I really do think that the Tampa over 103.5 points in the regular season is a pretty good one. And then stick with the East. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh at 22-1. You throw $100 on there. That's a pretty good payout right there at 22-1. So if I had to give you two, I'd say those are the first two that come to mind right now.
All right, Jack, where can the people find you? And if you have anything that you want to kind of tout or, plug right now, you have all the time in the world, buddy.
Well, sure. It might not be a fun season in San Jose, but I promise you, throwing some money on the games is absolutely a fun hobby. And some people call it a habit. It depends on how you look at it. But, each of the last 2 years, we here at Paramount Sports, we finished first in the world at covers.com. In the NHL, and they compile a list of about 40 NHL handicappers, and we've been at the top spot the last 2 years. So we're really proud of it, and we're stoked to do it again this year. We actually grade our plays on a 10 to 50 unit scale for clients, and we had a 50 unit futures winner last year on the Coyotes under 69.5 regular season points, as well as those Avalanche plus 550 cup futures as well. So if you want to come check out the team, find out more about how you can get involved and how you can get involved with the packages, just come check us out at paramountsports.com. You can find the NHL package there for just $797. It's an early bird special once the season gets started that actually takes back up. So check us out at paramountsports.com. I think I've got some pretty good hockey content as well on Twitter at ParamountNHL. I think you guys should give me a follow. And then of course, give Lee Sterling, who oversees the whole operation at Paramount Sports, give him a follow at Paramount Sports on Twitter. Any other way to get in contact with us, you can just, if you want to find more information or find out more about our packages or how you can sign up, just give us a call at our office, 800-400-9741. That's 800-400-9741.
All right. Thanks very much, Jack.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jack. I know not everyone's into gambling, but sometimes it is good to look at how Vegas views the team and kind of the expectations for the team, and if those are maybe aligned with how we see the team. And while I think the Sharks are going to be one of the five worst teams, there's still, I still think Timo Meier is going to have a monster season. So, those two things can happen at the same time. So, and if William Eklund, he hits the ground running and is playing a lot of power play minutes with Timo Meier on a contract year, and then maybe a rejuvenated Erik Karlsson, all these things can kind of line up, and if you're, maybe make some money there. So anyway, fun conversation. We'll be back tomorrow with Shang. We're going to look at some of the big storylines for the Sharks heading into this season, into training camp, and kind of, we haven't had Shang on for a while, so make sure you guys are subscribed there. And of course, please follow on YouTube or on the social medias first. Follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That way you know when all the episodes come out.
Yeah, and then pretty interactive, especially on Twitter during the games. Going to be trying to clip in more games, getting more highlights out, and then going to try to do that as well for the prospects. So, you know, I know especially some of these SHL games and these Russian games, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to try to do more of that this season. Of course, then you can also find the podcast wherever you get podcasts: Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, Anchor, CB Radio, Ham Radio. Yes. Go listen wherever you listen. And of course, subscribe on YouTube as well. That's the easiest way to support me. Those views, money's in my pockets. So yeah, go watch it on YouTube as well. You can find me on Twitter at MyFryHole. And be back tomorrow with Shang Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. Until then, bye friends.